Every day after we finish the canon of the Mass, we prepare to receive the body and blood of the Lord. And the first thing we do is say this, Our Father. And the reason for it mostly is that last part. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So at that moment, we have to let out of our heart any resentment, any anger, any harboring of a grudge. It's got to go out. Or we're not ready to receive communion. In the Eastern Rite, we have the kiss of peace, which is part of that preparation as well. Because when I greet somebody with a greeting of peace, that's Christ. And that's everybody else in the world. And if I can't say peace to you, to whoever it is, and mean to everybody in the world, I'm a phony. I don't mean peace. I mean, let's have a ceremony so we can have communion. It's not supposed to be a ceremony. It's a sacrament. And so, this is why. And as you notice, the only part of the Our Father that is commented on is this part. Deliver us from evil. And then St. Matthew adds another saying of Jesus from someplace else. If you forgive men their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. So it's only smart. But I can't pray, and you will. There's nothing the Lord wants more than that people act like He does, and He forgives. You see? But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgression. Pretty powerful. You know, a couple of years ago, we had a dialogue, Christian-Muslim. We used to have several of them, and I was responsible for them, actually. And we had one on forgiveness. What's the Muslim idea of forgiveness? What's the Christian idea of forgiveness? It was very, very beautiful, actually. And so I did a lot of reading about it and studying about it, and I read some books and stuff. And there was one story that struck me so profoundly. Story of an American who had been captured in the war, Second World War. He was in the Philippines. And was so when the Japanese invaded, of course, they took prisoners. And they were going to interrogate this man. So they tortured him. Well, he needed an interpreter. So there was a Japanese man there who kept, you know, badgering him with questions and trying to, and then they would torture him to make sure, you know, try to make him answer these questions. And this went on for quite a while, like maybe a week or two. And then he was in the prison camp and freed and so forth. And all his life, he bore the scars of this. Now, this was not somebody cutting him off in traffic, right? This was somebody helping his torturers get information out of him. And finally, for some reason, he said, I have to find that translator and be reconciled to him. Now, he wasn't a practicing Christian. He just knew this is in the fiber of our being that this is wrong. So he went and found the fellow, and they spoke. Because, of course, being a translator, they could speak English. And the other man said, all my life, what I had to do at that moment has weighed on me. I cannot tell you what a relief that you would come and forgive me. All my life, they're both very old men by now, Now, here's two pagans. All my life, I have been weighed down by what I had to do. And I'm so grateful that you've come. And so they were reconciled. Isn't that beautiful? But you see how deep it is? When the Lord tells us to do something, He's only trying to get us to be human. Now, human in the divine sense. But I read a lot of those kind of stories, trying to get an idea of where is forgiveness in the human heart. I have a book upstairs by a wonderful friend of mine called something about pardon, anyway. It's in French. I remember another interesting one. When Mandela took over in South Africa, you know, the police had been very, very arrogant and cruel toward anything, everybody but the whites. And now the blacks were in power. Mandela said, any policeman who's willing to acknowledge what he did will be forgiven and he can stay right in his job. But if you can't acknowledge what you've done wrong, you're going to have to leave your job. Most of them were able to acknowledge, to be forgiven, and they're still policemen. Isn't that beautiful? You see? Now, I'm sure in both cases, maybe not unknown to these people, maybe with Mandela he was known, but that this is the grace of the Father who forgives and wants forgiveness going to everybody. I imagine he's dead by now, because that war was quite a while ago. I imagine when he died, that fellow, and Jesus said, I helped them torture you, and you forgave me. Come into my kingdom. When you worried all your life about what you did, you know, and we're sorry for it. You see, that was me you were torturing. I forgive you. Come in. You see how deep it goes. Huh? Now, most of the time, our little problems are not quite that big. But the notion is still the same. How deep forgiveness is supposed to go in the human heart. And the lack of forgiveness eats away. It eats away. So I think that's why our Lord had St. Matthew, he taught us first, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then the Holy Spirit said to St. Matthew, take this other saying of Jesus and put it here to remind us of all the points of this prayer. The only one commented on is that one. And this is not only here. It's in other places as well. So, as we go through this Mass, remember, this is the Passion of Jesus. This is Jesus fixed in that act of love in which he died, and that whole passion, and where he said, Father, forgive them. You think if we just would get in union with that when we receive communion this morning? It's hard, in a way. But I've seen, gosh, I can't tell you, if somebody can just say, I forgive. But I don't feel it. It's okay. You got it out. And you have set loose a power in this world that you won't appreciate till the day you see God. And if you practice that, before you die, your heart will be totally at peace. The old monks of the desert used to always want to know that they were saved. You know, that they were In the grace of God. Imagine out there in the desert praying, saying the whole Psalter every day, fasting on bread and water. They wanted to know. And we, of course, we don't think about it. And this is how they knew that they were totally forgiven. when they had forgiven everybody. Then they knew that the grace of forgiveness had worked its way in them totally.